This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And hopefully, well, if you live here in Western Pennsylvania, it's time to start building the ark.
Yeah, I mean, the wind on the way up, we always talk about, yeah, walking through the car, we always talk about this being a high point. I mean, walking in was like, whoa. And then it's been pouring. We thought we might get a tornado last night. I was out with, you know, some buds having a wing or two and a couple beverages with the wife and some people, and it was like, driving there was nuts, you know? So, yeah, it's all right.
You've seen my driveway, how it's sloped down to the house. So last year I had to put like a little, township came through and redid the road.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't grade up the road far enough by my driveway. They didn't put a big enough hump there.
Okay.
So the water was running down the I'm at the bottom of the hill, mind you.
Yeah, right. Live on a hill and you have a slope. Yeah.
So the water, when it rained, just a slight rain, would run down and then run right down my driveway into my garage.
It would
overwhelm the drain.
I could totally see that.
So I put in...
Not even a light rain.
Right. Everything from the street was running down into my garage drain.
Okay.
So I went through last summer, and I'm like, I'm going to fix this. And I got a bag of blacktop,
mm-hmm.
put it down. I tamped it down. I put up a my own little barrier there to make it run past my driveway. So I hadn't gotten any water at all.
It's a mission accomplished.
It's fixed.
Until
these, my daughter went out last night to go somewhere, and she's like, there's water in the garage. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I go down, I look, and it was
that much.
And it was just from the driveway.
Wow. So it didn't get over your barrier, but
no,
it just everything
I went up
that
and looked
the
at
driveway.
The barrier. I'm like, it's not going over the barrier. This is just from the driveway. That's how hard it was raining.
Wow. I can see that. I mean, some of the driving on the roads, I mean, some of the splashes would make on the sides. It would just encompass the
just
car.
Just overwhelm my drain.
Yeah. It looks like the point's starting to get flooded again. And, yeah. You know, so there you have it.
Man. So that's what we're dealing with here now. Hopefully, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, the water on the Ohio River was climbing the steps at Heinz Field.
At Heinz Field, right. And the point was basically buried. I'm sitting here looking at my lawn like, is it ever going to dry? I mean, I need to mow that thing bad.
Mine mowed last week. There was like a little window, like I think Sunday maybe.
I did actually too, but it's getting high again.
Yeah,
but I didn't touch my backyard. You know, like, I have like two different yards, you've seen it.
Yeah.
The backyard hasn't been touched forever, and I just see like weeds and
things. Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah. That might be, hey, 17-year-old Michael, why don't you go get a machete and start cutting things down out back there?
So the Steelers continuing to host draft visitors. Today, Zach Frazier.
Ooh.
Beanie Bishop, the cornerback from West Virginia. And those are both
local
visits. And Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean, you almost had to bring in.
Yes.
I'll bet 32 teams wanted to bring Cooper DeJean in.
Can you imagine what his dance card looks like right now? Like, can he ever get a lift in edgewise or, you know, any free time? But even if he had no medicals, I mean, I think the reason Dale said that was everyone wants to poke around at his injury. You know, I mean, let's get our hands
let's
on
see
him
where
as close
he's at.
To
yeah.
where
he We know he worked out Monday, but we want to see where
And the same doctors that were at the combine, the Steelers doctors probably prodded him too, but that was a long time ago. I mean, so where are you at? You at least worked out. But my hunch is, and maybe it's just because we love him, but if he was completely clean medically, I bet they would have had him in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they like the player, too.
Yeah, you want to sit down with him and, you know, hey, let's put him on the board here. We know he's played a bunch of different positions, mm-hmm. but let's put him up here and see what his mental acumen is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're going to play the slot here. What's your, you know, and just show him those kind of things.
So one thing about him, though, that I want to bring up about his workout was it was quite good. You know, I mean, his numbers were really good. Especially considering he can't be 100%. I mean, not 100%.
Yeah, how much running has he been doing and things of that nature?
But smart move by him, he didn't do any of the agility stuff.
Yeah.
Which isn't he's more of a straight line guy to begin with. If he was 100%, would he have done three cones and shuttles? I don't know. It'd been nice to see them and him blow it out, but I'm sure that was by design, of course, folks. I mean, don't do what you're not good at.
This came after Thursday's visitors were Tyler Guyton and defensive tackle Christian Boyd.
Boyd's been kind of one of our favorites in the mid-rounds. Would fit in. He is a little nosier, but I don't even care.
I don't care.
Yeah, right. He's a good player. Guyton's somebody I'd love to see get your hands on for a year. He does some really good things, but he's kind of like Mims where he's new to all this. I mean,
yeah.
So I read this the
he's
other
at least
day.
Played, he's played more than Mims.
He has, yeah. He has. I mean, Mims has only had like slightly over 100 pass sets at Georgia. You know, Guyton's had a little
me.
More
he just
than
does.
That. I hear you, but they both have so much tools. Guyton's nasty. I mean, I remember Guyton at the Senior Bowl. He was always wanting Latu and all the good guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like he
yeah.
was very competitive.
I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, and he was going on and on. And I'm like, I'm just standing there next to him, and I just finally looked at him and go, "Dude, you look like a power forward."
Yeah, I think he's got a pretty heavy basketball background.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that
that's
was
what he looks like. I mean, he
be.
Is
yeah.
chiseled. He's not a big, heavy
no,
offensive tackle,
but he's strong.
Yeah,
I mean, he's very strong. I think his protection needs a lot of work. I mean. Especially in that offense, too. Like, yeah, he played more than Mims, but some of them were – so many of his pass protection reps are just get a hand on a guy, RPO goes out, and then he runs down the field and squashes a linebacker,
yeah.
you know, which he does that,
that
stuff
works
really well.
That works,
yeah.
too. You can do that.
That's what you should do with him, you know, right. But, no, he'd be a nice moldable piece of clay, especially if you could get him at 25-ish.
Right.
You know, I'm not
if you're,
sure.
You're trading back.
20,
but
yeah.
if, to me, if you trade back, I'm trading back to take one of the centers.
Maybe.
That's just where I'm getting the – like, if I'm going to move back, because I think – I'm starting to think 20 now is – I can wait on those centers a little bit.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of them. You know, the
yeah.
day two guys, too. Yeah. I don't know the Powers Johnson's going to get sucked up in the first 24 picks or so.
Yeah. Barton probably does.
Probably. Maybe at 20.
Maybe at 20.
Maybe
yeah.
20. Maybe 20, yeah. He's been in for a visit, right?
I don't believe he
I'm
has
I'm not
been.
Sure about that. Powers yeah. Johnson has.
They
now
still
Frazier
have. They still have until next Wednesday to continue to bring guys in.
Okay.
And right now, I believe they're right around 20 or so.
Of non
of their 30s.
Okay.
So they still got about 10 to go.
I mean, I know, like, Penix is one of them, but he hasn't been scheduled
he hasn't been
yet.
In yet.
Like,
yeah.
I doubt, I'm not sure that'll even happen.
Yeah, some
you know
of those.
I mean? Some of those don't even happen, right.
Those guys, you get 32 requests if you're a player.
Right. You have to sort through.
You
it.
Have to sort through them and figure out where mm-hmm. you can get to. And you also have to figure out, look, this team's not going to draft me.
Right, right, right.
Or if they're going to draft me, it's going to be, you know, is Michael Penix going to visit the Chiefs? Probably not.
Right,
yeah.
right, right. Might they want to chat with him? Because
sure.
he might end up in the division. And,
right.
But, hey, I don't have time to go to see 32 cities.
So you got
to
pick and choose if you're
yeah.
if you're those players, especially the quarterbacks, I think.
Especially the quarterbacks.
Because, again, everybody's going to want to talk to them.
Because they're playing against them. Right.
right.
I mean, you're just gathering information one way or another. You know, like the Chiefs are a perfect example. Well, he could easily end up in Denver or with the Raiders.
With the Raiders,
like,
yeah.
I don't know every little bit about that guy.
Yeah, I want to see
right?
what how's he do on the whiteboard?
Yeah, yeah. You know? What's he think of this blitz concept? Oh, well, maybe we'll throw that at him in 2 years or whatever. So I wonder, I don't know if this is how it works or not, but every team has relationships with every agent. There's human
yeah.
beings involved in this. I would hope if I'm Penix's agent, maybe I would call up the Steelers or one of their contract guys or whoever made the arrangements and be like, are you really thinking about him at 20? And if they're like, no, they're like, well, we'll try to get there, but you're
yeah.
not priority number one for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You may
like,
just
okay.
tell them, look, yeah. we wouldn't take him at 20, but we would consider him at 51.
Yeah.
Well, we're probably not going to come then because
right.
there are
10 teams have told us that we'd never get out of the top 40. Or,
right.
You know, right. Like, there's some logistics to it.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, you know, that's just all part of the process here. But
so he's on the list, but I don't know that he'll ever show up here.
Once again, offensive linemen.
They're all the same.
Cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Defensive
besides
linemen.
Penix, that's why I brought him up. I
yeah.
mean, they're all corners, they're all O linemen, and a lot of D linemen and receivers. Yeah,
yeah, they're
and they're
doing
the guys
their due
we've
diligence.
Been talking about.
Yeah, doing their due diligence for sure on
mm-hmm.
on these guys, and I don't think it's that hard to figure out the draft board because
no,
of that.
Or the priorities
yeah.
or any of that kind of stuff. Right,
I mean, there's no safeties unless you consider
no.
DeGene a safety, and I don't.
I don't either. Yeah,
you know, we're not seeing any tight ends. We're not seeing
off
any
off-the-wall linebackers,
yeah.
right? I mean, there's a lot.
We're not even seeing inside linebackers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear where they have four picks on the first 2 days.
Yeah,
I think we know what positions they're
those four
be.
Positions
yeah.
are going to be addressed in some order.
In some order, yeah,
yeah.
And it works out that way that almost any path, any choose your adventure book you take, there'll still be a center there
yeah.
in the third round. There'll still be a receiver. There'll still be a slot corner, you know.
And that's why, folks, we do our mock drafts, just to kind of run
mm-hmm.
these scenarios. Like, okay, if we take the tackle in the first round,
yeah,
does that mean we get shorted at center?
They're like, no corners, you get no corners left.
Right, or no corners left, or no wide receivers that we like left.
But to be honest, this is pretty clear. The Steelers have done a good job doing the same things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that they're not.
They should just listen to the show.
Maybe they do.
and then they could just, these are the scenarios Matt and Dale laid out, mm-hmm. and this is what happened 9 times out of 10. This is where they got shorted at.
I mean, chances are, my hunch is they didn't love the outside the numbers corners as much as they liked the slots in the draft.
Yeah.
I bet they didn't like the linebackers all that much.
I can agree with that.
I agree with it,
too. I think there's a heck of a lot more slot
capable
guys in this draft than there are outside guys.
And they're not tiny slots, and they can play a little bit outside,
too. It's like the exact opposite of last year.
Yeah.
Last year there were a lot of outside guys.
There was. But no, I bet, obviously they've taken the temperature of the draft and said, we really do like 6-7 centers, so we'll get one.
Yeah.
You'll get one if you want. So I think they've set them up well to address those needs that they've brought in terms of where the pockets of the draft are.
Yeah. But if they don't get one of the top three centers, it's not the end of the world.
I've been trying to tell people that. I put it out again on Twitter today. Brandon Thorne said, the more I look at this center class, I think there might be up to 10 that I think could end up being starters. Usually there's like 3 or 4. 10's bonkers.
It probably won't be 10.
Right.
But maybe it's 6.
And maybe it's 6 good ones and 4 that fail.
Yeah.
And I know everyone's like, I don't want to be Kendrick Green failed. I don't want to be one of the ones that failed. And I understand that. But tackles are harder to find than centers.
Yeah. Speaking of that, the 33rd team, uses Sports Info Solutions, put together their list of the top 15 offensive tackles in this draft. Let's run down through these real quick. They got Roger Rosengarten at 15.
That's more like the neighborhood. Yeah. Right.
They have him at big board.
This is all free, by the way, guys. You can check this out.
They got great stuff on here.
They do, and SIS does good work, too.
His big board ranking is 108 for them.
Okay.
They got Javon Foster from Missouri.
He's interesting.
Yeah. He's 14.
A power player.
He's at 107.
Yeah. Some people have him at guard, but he's a power player. Yeah. I can see him being a consolation prize.
Yeah. Travis Glover from Georgia State is 13.
He's been in for a visit.
Yes.
And I didn't really know who he was until I saw the visit list the first time.
He's at 106.
He looks the part.
6'6", 338.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
He's a big right tackle type that probably takes a year,
Yeah. Jordan Morgan out of Arizona is 12 for them. His big board ranking is 105.
He's one I'm pretty convinced is a guard, though.
Yeah.
I mean, his arms are like 32.
Yeah. Walter Rouse from Oklahoma, number
interesting
11.
Player, too. Yeah. I mean, some of these, it's funny, like everyone talks about Alt. Well, what about the other tackle there? Everyone talks about Guyton. What about the other tackle there? These guys are pretty good.
Yeah, his big board ranking is number 70. So they're
looking. Davis, I can wait.
6'6", 313.
Yeah, okay.
So he's big. He's big enough to ride the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Kieran Amadidije.
Yeah.
From Yale.
Yeah.
Is number. He's number 10. He's at 57. So 10 offensive tackles in your top 57 players.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And I'd consider him in the second round.
Yeah.
I wish
he
I knew
just
a little
hasn't
more.
Done anything.
He hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Patrick Paul from Houston is number 9.
He's one that scares me.
He's number 45 on their big board.
Okay.
The athleticism and stuff is there. He just needs work.
He needs work. His hands
get
real
wide.
His hands
are bad.
He's not super strong, but he's another power forward. Like if you were standing next to him, like you said, Guyton.
First guy off the bus.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Number 8, Blake Fisher. They got him at big board ranking of 44.
Wow. I think there's a chance he's the 51st pick overall.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't go round one, he's a right tackle from a great school of producing.
Played a lot of snaps.
Yeah, smart. I mean, plug him
good
right in.
Good coaching at Notre Dame.
Probably plays 10 years in this league and has a successful career,
Number 7, Kingsley Suamataia. And his big board ranking is 37.
I've tried not to, fall in love with him or get too in-depth because I think he's in that no man's land where might be end of first round but won't last much longer, but some people I've seen have him go well into second round. I don't know how that could happen.
I don't see it either.
Yeah.
6 is Amarius Mims.
Okay.
Big board ranking of 31.
Okay.
So they don't love him quite as much.
Yeah, I mean, he's the most variance guy out there.
Yeah. 5 is Tyler Guyton.
Okay. That makes sense.
His big board ranking is
26. Mims has been in
26.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was early. 4 is Talisi Fuaga.
Mm-hmm.
His big board ranking is 12.
the four in the top 12.
Yeah. Fashanu, I should say, is number three. His big board ranking is ninth.
Okay.
Latham is number two. His big board ranking is sixth.
So they didn't even count Fatanu.
Yeah, they didn't count Fatanu as a tackle.
Okay.
And then Joe Alt is number one. His big board ranking, number three.
Wow. I mean, you got to get one of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you just do. Or Fatanu. I mean, I don't think anybody would be complaining about that.
That was just their tackle ranks. I wanted to take a look at their center. The reason I called this up is I wanted to look at their center rankings and just run through that, because I guarantee you there's probably...
And there'll be some guards that aren't listed as centers and et cetera, you know. Like McCormick might be as a guard.
Well, do they have their centers?
I think so. It takes some looking. Yeah. If you just search SIS, you can see all their different articles. And I urge people to do that. It's good stuff on
3013. Yeah, they get just a ton of stuff on here.
They do.
You
want to do it next segment?
We can do that next segment.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because now I'm down into free agency stuff here, and we don't.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go! This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And I mentioned the NFL, Sports Info Solutions. Mm-hmm. They do all the...
They're an analytics company. They do a bunch of pro football-focused stuff, and a lot of teams actually go through them. I mean, they pay a lot of money to get their information. Yeah.
So this is their big board.
Okay.
Heading into the draft, and we'll highlight the centers on here. We won't get
okay
because the names are the names here.
Yeah, we don't talk about Marvin Harrison.
But they have they have Harrison number one.
Do they?
Caleb Williams two. Joe Alt three, as we mentioned in the previous segment. Then Malik Nabers four. Adunzie five. J.C. Latham sixth.
I get it.
He's my number two. I mean, I have him at two is my tackles.
I don't know if the Chargers could take him at five, but if they happen to trade down like two or three spots, that screams Harbaugh.
Yeah. Drake May is at seven. Brock Bowers, eight. Fashanu is at nine. So three offensive tackles in the top nine.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder where they put Fatanu, too, because they have not. They called him a guard.
Dallas Turner then in Leitu at 10 and 11, the top two edge guys. Fawaga is at 12. Kool-Aid McKinstry at 13.
Wow. I kind of get it. I think he's safe and he plays a lot of man, and those things are hard to find. And he's smart.
I did a little mock draft last night where I traded back to, I think, 25, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
And I ended up taking Kool-Aid McKinstry.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean,
man cornerback, they want to play a lot of man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not exclusively man, but
you can figure slot out. You know, maybe it's a safety or whatever.
Maybe
it's him. Maybe he doesn't. That's more of an Arnold thing with them. But he started as a true freshman at Bama. I'm sure he can adapt.
Yeah. Then Nate Wiggins at 14.
Hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
I guess he was a little heavier at his pro day, not surprisingly.
Yeah. 173, I think, at his pro day.
Was he?
Yeah.
Not in the 160s anymore.
Yeah. Chop Robinson, another edge.
I get it. I wish there was more production.
Rake Straw at 17 is their cornerback three.
Ooh. I have a problem with that. I just don't think he has enough traits. I mean, he didn't run great.
He's fluid, though.
I like the way he plays.
He plays. It's very much...
But they have him over Mitchell or Arnold?
Yeah.
That I don't get.
He'd
probably be like my sixth guy.
He's very much like Arnold to me. Like, they're not burners, but they get the job done because they anticipate well.
No, I think there's some of that for sure. No, I think he's good at the game.
Keon Coleman, 18.
Wow. That's rich.
Yeah. So he's wide receiver four. Then you get Verse at 19. So these are a little different.
They are a little different, right? They're a very analytical company.
Yeah. Brian Thomas at 20, or Byron Murphy at 20, Brian Thomas at 21, Fatanu at 22.
And they call him, is he guard one?
Guard one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'd love that. If he fell?
He plays so different, too. I mean, he's unbelievably quick, and I mean, he's
nasty.
Nasty, yeah. He gets downfield. I honestly think he could be a center, a guard, or a tackle.
He can play anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Jatavion Sanders at 23.
Wow. There's flashes. I mean, he gets downfield. You see some.
I mean, if he just turned on the Alabama game last year,
was that the one he lit him up? Yeah,
They couldn't. They couldn't cover him.
Yeah, I still think that's pretty early.
Tyler Newbin at 24.
Solid, yeah.
Jaden Daniels all the way down to 25.
Wow. I don't get that.
I don't get that at all.
No.
Tyler Guyton at 26. Jackson Powers Johnson at 27.
They call him center one.
Center one.
We were
going
to do a center thing here, yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell at 28. Tavondre Sweat at 29. Tavondre Sweat's not, he's going to wait until day three to get taken this year.
I don't think he'll go in the first two
they
rounds.
They list him as nose tackle one. So they break it down.
Guess he would be nose tackle one, but I don't think he's going to go anywhere close to that.
Nowhere close. I guarantee day three.
Well, he's slimmed down to 366.
Yeah.
That's what scares me as much as the DUI.
Cameron Kitchens at 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takes the ball away, though.
Mm-hmm.
Amarius Mims at 31. Terrion Arnold at 32.
Okay.
Graham Barton at 33. They call him guard two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess if I was guard needy, I would have him in my guard list.
Cooper DeJean at 34 is cornerback six.
Okay, they do call him a corner, though.
Yeah. Kamari Lassiter at 35 is cornerback seven. Would you consider him as a slot guy?
Yeah, but digging through the beast, I didn't realize he didn't run at the combine. He ran like a 4.66 at Georgia's pro day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was slow.
And I think he's faster than that, but he plays faster.
Oh, he definitely does, and he's a good football player, too, but I don't know that I can use a top 51 pick on that. I think that's the third rounder. I mean, he's played a lot of good football for a good defense against good competition and has everything else, but that position's traitsy to me.
Yeah. Junior Colson at 36. He is Mike 1.
Okay.
Kingsley Suamataya at 37. Cedric Gray at 38. He is Mike 2.
He seems to be gaining steam.
Yeah.
Because he's a lot traitsier than, like, Trotter.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of upside to
Gets
him.
His hands on the football.
Yeah, and makes plays.
Mekhi Wingo is defensive tackle 3.
I kind of get it. I mean, he's a lot more like the top two in terms of explosion. So I haven't studied him, but I was listening to people that did, and you go back and watch. They don't ask him to be an explosive Geno Atkins type. They put him in a four-point stance like a frog, and then he just, like, blows into somebody as opposed to attacking gaps. Like, when he does, though, he makes a lot happen, and he tested really well.
Peyton Wilson is Will linebacker number one.
Mm, you're really splitting hairs here with
really
Mike and Wills
at
this point.
At 40, number 40. Dominic Pudi at 41. He's guard 3.
And they called him a guard, yeah.
Chris Braswell at 42. He's edge 5. Darius Robinson at defensive tackle 4.
Okay. So they like Wingo better, but okay. They're a lot different.
Blake Fisher at 44.
Yeah, he went through the tackle ranks.
Patrick Paul at 45. Kalen King.
Wow.
At 46.
If you love the 2022 tape, well, if you trust that or if you have some reason why that's who he is deep down.
He ran better at Penn State's pro day.
Did he?
Yeah.
I assume he would, but boy, he's had a rough process.
Leonard Taylor at 47 is defensive tackle 5.
Okay.
Zach Frazier is centered number 2 at 48.
Okay, Barton's a guard.
Yeah. Christian Haynes at 49 is guard 4. Bo Limmer at 50 is center 3.
Yeah, I'm interested in this neighborhood of centers.
Yeah. Then you look down at 53 is Hunter Norzad is center 4.
Okay. I mean, these are, folks, the 50th, 53rd best player in the draft.
I mean,
they're not Dirk Dawson, but you could be very happy with them for a long time.
I'm just looking here. Center 5 on this list.
Or if you see McCormick's name, I'd be curious, too. I bet they have him with the guards.
Probably. Sanistrol is on there at 75. He is cornerback 12.
Okay. Dane had him quarterback 6, corner 6.
Yeah, they got Ladd McConkey all the way down at 85 as wide receiver 10. With Xavier Worthy right behind him.
I can understand wide receiver 10. I can't understand in the 80s.
Yeah, Devontae Walker's ahead of him. Jalen Polk's ahead of him. Adonai Mitchell's ahead of him.
Mitchell, I can understand.
Mitchell's
wide
receiver 7, though.
Really?
Troy Franklin's wide receiver 6.
And they'd Polk high, it's on the left.
Yeah. They get J.J. McCarthy as QB 5 at 88.
I kind of get it.
I don't
get it. So who was 4?
4 is Penix.
Okay. I understand it.
Xavier Leggett.
I mean, it's a gutsy thing to put out on print, but I get it.
Yeah. Xavier Leggett is wide receiver 12 at 91.
The more I think about him, I don't think he'll be there at 51.
Roman Wilson is wide receiver 13 at 92.
He scares me more and more, to be honest with you. I think he might be slot only. He doesn't get off press real well.
Ricky Pearsall is wide receiver 14 at 94.
And I'm liking him more and more.
Yeah. Andrew Phillips is cornerback 15. He's at 95.
He's one of those typical slot on day two guys.
Yeah. Center number five is Cedric Van Pran at 97.
I like they have Norzad and Limmer ahead of them.
Yeah. Let's see. Malachi Corley, wide receiver 16. I saw that he blew off the combine.
Just didn't go at all.
Just didn't go. He was invited. Didn't go.
If Marvin Harrison does that, it's not smart, but okay.
He showed up.
He was in the city of Indianapolis when everyone else was.
You're Malachi Corley. Why do you not go to the combine?
I mean, unless it's a death in the family or something crazy. That's the only thing that's like excusable to me. If you don't work out because you don't feel well or you get a bad knee, of course, don't do it. But, you know, right.
Bo Nix is quarterback 7. He's down at 113.
Kind of understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think he's a backup, they must think he's a backup.
He's very close. In fact, Spencer Rattler's 116 is quarterback 8.
Okay.
Who's the next center? Tanner Bordellini is center number 6. He's at 123.
Okay. So that's probably early fourth roundish, something like that. Late fourth roundish.
Andrew Rame from Oklahoma is center 7. He's at 126.
I need to do more homework on him, too.
Yeah.
These other Oklahoma O linemen are starting to pop up more now that we dig deep.
Yeah. He essentially took over for Creed Humphrey.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's Brandon Coleman. They call him a guard on here, though.
I think that's where I would list him.
They call Sateo Lumea from Utah a guard.
Okay. They have his height and weight?
6'4", 319.
Okay. Maybe a tackle.
Yeah.
Charles
Turner is center 8 at 143 from LSU.
I got to do more work on him, too.
Let's see here. Who else we got center-wise? That might be it in the McKinley Jackson is this number 2 nose tackle. He's at 177. Wow. So there's a big...
Yeah. Noses aren't going to be in demand. A lot of those upfield defense tackles, though.
Yeah. Jordan Jefferson's nose tackle 3.
They're going to have 3 defensive tackles taken.
I think that is it in the top 200 then for centers. Okay. So they have 8 centers in the top.
120 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying all of them would fit the bill, but more than the top 3 would.
Who did you want? You were looking for?
McCormick from South Dakota State.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's on there or not, but I mean.
He didn't jump out to me as on here.
He was a supreme tester.
Let me see if I can. McCormick.
Because they might have a write-up on them, too. I think if you they got a lot going on that site. If you click on the names, I think they actually have a write-up on each player, too.
Yeah, I'm not seeing...
Okay.
I'm not seeing him here, but that doesn't mean he's not on here.
No,
I'm sure he is. They go 250 players deep here.
I'm sure he's...
317 players deep.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm sure he's on there somewhere. But
no, they're thorough.
Yeah, in fact, there's Dylan McMahon at 307. He is center number 14.
That's 14.
Kid from NC State.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, check that out. I mean, they've
got a good database.
A lot of good stuff on there.
They do. And lately, the SIS has been putting out best edge pass rushers, best run stuffing D linemen, you know, like some category. And every day, there's been something coming out with that.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of stuff on there. Christian Jones, offensive tackle 20, is number 212.
Wow,
I don't get that.
I don't either. I think he's right tackle only. He's got some stiffness to him, and my hunch is most years he'd be tackle 14.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think he gets hurt by the depth. But he might be a starter. I mean, I don't think that's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
No.
I don't think he's a bad prospect.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I think he's not too bad. Our guy, Muhammad Kamara, edge 14 at number 170.
I'd be happy if he went off the board in that neighborhood. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, after he fills some needs.
Yeah. Maybe the NFL team should just use this list and draft off of that and be done with it. So they got some good stuff on there, but there are centers beyond
the bottom line.
Beyond the guys that you've heard of, which are Powers Johnson, Frazier, and then everybody's on Cedric Van Pran Granger because they've heard of him too. If you don't get one of those guys, you got
to
get Van Pran Granger. I'm like, he doesn't fit.
I'd rather have Norzad. I'd rather have Bordellini.
Yeah, give me one of these guys that can move.
Yeah, I'd be interested in McCormick over him. And he's not that huge either. People talk about him like he's 340 pow mover. It's like, he's a good player. I just don't.
I would take him at 119 if everybody else was gone and I didn't have a center, but.
Yeah, it would have to be by default.
I want to go fish if you tell me I'm coming out of the draft and he's the center that I get.
Yeah. And I do think he could start right away. I just don't think he has a high ceiling.
Yeah, you know? I think he's going to be okay.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he bottom 10 starting centers in the league type guy. Yeah, yeah, kind of aim a little higher than that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I don't know how many teams, and maybe this would be our project over the weekend, mm-hmm. is to go through and look. How many teams need a center?
I did that actually like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I came up with like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But the problem is, okay, like Carolina needs a center. They went out and paid big money for two guards. They got a tiny quarterback. They're going to take the Saints approach of can't let the pocket get pushed.
Build from the middle out.
But they have so many other needs.
Yeah.
You know, like, could they take Powers Johnson at 33? Sure. Or Frazier or Barton. I don't think he'll get there. But then they have nothing at receiver. I mean, like, they're so bad. So some of these center needy teams need other things that are harder to find,
yeah.
too.
Well, the other problem is that guys like Barton and Powers Johnson also could play guard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, Barton might even be able to play right tackle.
Yeah.
You know, in a pinch. And
the Chargers would worry me.
Somebody
at the
might
end
take
the
him.
Round.
Just, hey, we just need a guy in the middle of our line. We'll take him mm-hmm. and put him. We'll find
figure
a spot.
Out where it goes. 100%. I mean, a couple of those guys will fall off the board because of that.
Yeah. So,
but no, I can't have like 5 or 6 that should be in the market.
Yeah.
In Tampa Bay, Chargers, Carolina, maybe Arizona. They signed a journeyman type.
You know, I'd still have Connor Williams on speed dial too.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
I'd be checking in with him like once every week or two.
Mm-hmm.
How's it going?
Along? Yeah, how you been? Don't forget about us.
You running yet?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
you can maybe piece it together until he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, if you had, you know, if you had to go into the season and start Nate Herbig there mm-hmm. for the first month of the season. Herbig's done it before.
Herbig's done it before. I still think Daniel's best position center, but I can also understand not wanting to move him and then move him back.
So, right, yeah.
I mean, don't mess with two things.
I mean, Herbig played center a couple years ago for the mm-hmm. Jets, and they weren't happy to lose him, let's put it that way.
No, I know that. And maybe, I mean, Anderson's traits are center as well.
Right.
I mean, especially if you know Williams is only missing a month.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we'll play one of these guys, and then we'll have a lot of depth.
Yeah. The only problem with that is that that continuity that you're looking for on your line.
Oh, you'd love to have Williams all through camp.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
That's going to be missed. But I mean, at least you'd be in the O-line room.
And, right. You don't want it to take 8 weeks for your running game to start clicking mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. you know.
Or protection gaffes or center quarterback exchange stuff or whatever. I mean, it's a position that you need a lot of reps.
Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, can you do that kind of stuff, that kind of work, passing guys off and stuff in walkthroughs?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, if he's comfortable being on the field,
yeah.
walking through, yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, I got this guy, you got this guy. You know, the defense keeps moving and he's yelling out calls,
yeah.
you know, all the mental stuff. Yeah, I think that'd probably be fine if he's capable of just walking through.
Because we know one thing that this offensive line does do is they stay after practice, every practice, and work together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even if he's not in pads at camp, he could be part of that powwow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No, I still think he's a really good player.
And I think he would be part of the
mm-hmm.
– he could be part of the solution.
The other thing about him is he also was very successful at guard.
Right.
So if you'd sign him to a 2-year deal and still draft Bortolini, and Bortolini turns into a really good player, well, maybe Williams is your right guard next year and Daniels walks or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
so you can – down the road, you might need him to do more than one thing.
Yeah. I would just have to know how serious – I mean, it was an ACL tear,
mm-hmm.
but there are different.
Everyone says it was not a minor one.
Right. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if it's just the ACL, okay, he'll be good in 6 months or 8 months.
And you're halfway there already.
But if it's the ACL and the PCL, or mm-hmm. if it's the ACL and the MCL, you know, if he tore multiple.
And you lose tons of strength in that yeah. leg and, you know, you aren't strong enough to play offensive line against, you know, Geno Atkins and Lodi Nottas of the world, you know? And I don't think they play anymore. But
I was going to say.
You don't have to play against those guys.
What are you picking those guys out for? What is this?
I was thinking in the division, and for whatever reason, we were talking about Geno Atkins.
Is this 2011?
Yeah. Yeah, I only get
hop on the Wayback Machine.
Michael Dean Perry. Yeah.
The fridge is coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to get to a break with that.
Yeah.
He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go!
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Matt, you know, Steeler fans can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives they can only find directly from the team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or visit online at shop.steelers.com. And you might want to get that draft hat.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks here coming up, and there'll be some new numbers handed out here pretty soon.
There'll be new numbers, there'll be a draft hat, there'll be presumably a first-round pick that people will be scooping up there. I mean, they could trade out of the first, that's what I'm saying.
They could, but
yeah, I mean, chances are you're going to add, well, you know you're going to add a lot of young talent. It'd been cool to be the first one of your buds to have a Porter jersey the day after the draft or whatever last year, you know, so get on it.
So you did a top 29 here.
Yeah, I had a little bit different process on this.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we were going to talk about this or not, so... Yeah. I was fiddling around last night, and the way that I decided I was going to do my Steeler, we could always call it like a top 20 list or whatever, was if I'm in charge of the Steelers, which I'm far from, and I had the first overall pick in the draft, who would I take? Well, if that guy went and I had the second overall pick in the draft, who would I take for the Steelers? You know, so I have 29 names on there. Zero edge rushers. I mean, there's guys that the Steelers might get in the second round that I would probably take ahead of Turner. I mean, there's a breaking point, but I also didn't think the need to throw Turner in at number 30 when there's no chance they're going to take. I mean, that's not even going to happen. But that's really the only position I kind of ignored because I didn't think there were any linebackers worthy. And I fiddled with this, and it's not my final answer, but I thought of it, if I have the fifth pick in the draft and my top four are gone, who do I want? If I have the 10th pick in the draft and my favorite nine are gone, who am I taking?
So you have Caleb Williams one.
Yeah.
You have Drake May two.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with that, but that's...
I know. I like May more than you do, and you like Daniels a little more than I do.
You have Marvin Harrison three. I might have Harrison one.
I thought about it, but it's like big picture. It's kind of like what the Bears has dealt with.
Yeah.
You know,
the question I would have to ask myself... If I was in that position,
mm-hmm.
Which one is? I get it. Maybe Caleb Williams becomes a star.
That's the thing.
But
I'm pretty damn
sure I know Marvin Harrison is going to be a star.
No question. And you might win the Super Bowl this year with Marvin Harrison.
Right.
I mean, you probably won't with Caleb Williams.
Right.
But you might have the next Ben Roethlisberger with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
You know.
But
what I mean?
He's not. But is he going to play for you this year? That's the
Williams.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You know, I don't know.
Right. The quarterbacks are hard. I mean, and where they end up on here really doesn't matter.
Like, I don't know for the Steelers this year if I would have put quarterbacks on here.
I almost didn't, but I just thought if I had the first pick in the draft, who would I take? If I have to trade Russell Wilson for a fifth-round pick, so be it. That's not logical, but I just wanted to think through that lens of – it's just like the Bears right now. Even if they adored Fields, they're going to take Wilson Williams because it's a rare opportunity.
You have Neighbors fourth,
mm-hmm.
Adunze fifth, Jaden Daniels sixth. Then you got to run on tackles. Joe Alt, J.C. Latham, Olu Fashanu,
mm-hmm.
Talisi Fuaga, Troy Fatanu.
Yeah, and I'm very happy with all of them. One of them might make it to 20. But for what the Steelers need, I thought they were all, not equal, but all more valuable than any other position out there.
Yeah. Then you have J.J. McCarthy at 12.
Which, I didn't know what to do with him. I mean,
I don't know if I'd have had him on my list.
I almost didn't. You know, I'm warming up to him as a prospect more. I don't think he's nearly as good as the top three. It's just all about quarterback value. I mean, if I can have him for 5 years on a rookie deal.
Like, what's his ceiling?
Kirk Cousins? Who's better than people think, but...
I mean, that's what we were saying about Kenny Pickett as well. And,
right.
You know.
I mean, I almost said Matthew Stafford, but that's too high.
That's too high.
Stafford's
yeah.
really, really good. I don't have a great comp. Maybe I'll think, you know, Jared Goff.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
You know.
You have Brock Bowers at 13.
Yeah.
Amarius Mims at 14. Brian Thomas at 15. Adonai Mitchell at 16. Cooper DeJean at 17.
He almost went ahead of those two receivers.
I might actually put him there because he just does so much.
I know. I thought those outside...
Like, that finishes your defense off.
Yeah. I think it does finish your defense. Well, maybe a D-lineman, but it finishes your secondary. It finishes your back seven.
Your starting 11
yep.
is pretty set
yep.
with Cooper DeJean.
I to be honest, Bowers, Mims, Thomas, Mitchell, DeJean, we're all pretty tight. And obviously then the next corners too. But
yeah,
you can make an argument that DeJean should be a couple spots up.
You got Quinion Mitchell at 18.
Mm-hmm.
Terry and Arnold at 19.
I mean, they're just guys you don't turn your back on if they're there, you know.
Nate Wiggins at 20.
Same.
Then you have the two center prospects, Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson.
Mm-hmm. And I lumped them together on purpose, and I don't have a huge preference, but I do think they're going to want really movement-based linemen, and Barton moves better.
I did see that you sent me the thing about guys who have quote-unquote red flags.
Yeah, some of them.
And the
are
red
real
flag
red.
On Jackson Powers Johnson was that he declined to take the cognitive testing at the combine.
Yeah. I'm like, that's nuts.
That's not a red flag to me.
That's not a red flag to me either. I hate throwing this out there, but there are rumors that he has concussion things. Is that because that – did they go hand in hand?
I don't know.
I don't know. But I like the player a lot.
Yeah. Jerzon Newton at 23. One of the reasons he's slipping a little bit in some people's eyes, he hasn't worked out.
He hasn't worked out at all.
And he may not. He's got a Jones fracture as well.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's scheduled to work out next week.
I almost didn't put those two D tackles on there, but I was giving it some thought. And the way some of these defensive tackles, Derek Brown, Wilkins,
are getting paid.
And Cam's not young, and he's not the Steelers style, neither is Murphy, but they're getting away from that to some degree. If he played 50% of the snaps,
my question would be with Newton, could I put Newton at nose tackle a la.
I don't think so. I think he's a four-man front only guy.
That's my.
Which is still 70% of the snaps.
I guess. But
I think there's a point where I would take him, but I'm sure he'd get scooped up before that.
Yeah.
Just because. I think he would be like what they wanted Liao to be, but a Energizer Bunny version, a better, much better version.
Yeah.
But they almost didn't make the list. But it just, at one point, it's like, if I'm sitting there at 30 on a trade down and all my guys are gone, you know, or, well, frankly, if the first.
Well, I ask about the nose tackle thing because
gone. Yeah.
Javon Hargrave wasn't a true.
Yeah, but he was 330, and his butt was this wide.
I get that.
You can watch a movie on
it. But he's an up-the-field penetrating nose
tackle.
Right.
But he could hold the point better than these guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He could handle the double, you know.
Then you had Tyler Guyton at 24. Mm-hmm. Brian Murphy, the other defensive tackle.
I just like Newton noticeably more than Murphy. Well, not noticeably, but a step ahead of him, or they would have been lumped together.
Then you got Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yep. And then the last three are kind of interesting.
Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall, Troy Franklin.
Yeah. Like, I almost put Frazier right there with those guys, but those three receivers, I think, are really strong NFL number twos, which is a big compliment. People are like, I mean, there's only like 15 number ones in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think they're strong number twos.
And Pickens might be one.
He's
borderline.
Not the second,
he's
but
borderline
he could
right
become
now.
One, right. And I think they're banking on him becoming one. And plus, they're a lot different than him.
Yeah,
The three of them are, I think, would be really welcome additions.
They're bigger versions of Deontay.
Yeah, with slot capabilities, you know, with a lot in front of them.
Good route runners.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pearsall and McConkey, I've really fallen in love with. Franklin's a little skinnier than I'd like, but makes a lot of plays, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to throw deep a lot, and he's a deep threat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you wouldn't think of Troy Franklin as the 29th best player in the draft. But just through the Steelers' eyes, I might take him. I'd probably take him over Jared Verse.
You're not looking at safeties. You're not looking at inside linebackers. You're not looking at
guards.
Yeah.
Right. No running backs.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so if you really narrow it down, I think this is how teams should handle it. Like, I'm just going to take the top guy. I mean, once the second round rolls around, it changes because I'm not going to double up on positions or whatever.
Well, I know it's the Steelers have in the past done it this way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they still do that. That was a Kevin Colbert thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like I always do this in my fantasy league. Whatever my first pick is, I'm going to tell you, I know my top 12 guys.
Yeah.
And I know which, worst case, I'm going to get number 12. I'll probably get number 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think if you look at it that way of, we had the first pick in the draft, taking this guy. If we had the fifth pick in the draft and the top four are gone, I'm taking this guy. And really, the top eight don't matter because you're not going to get there.
Right. Something crazy would have to happen.
Something crazy might happen. But I people find it funny when – I'm just using Kevin as an example because he was a GM forever. He comes to the podium after the first day and says, this was a top 10 player on our board. And they got him at 26. And people were like, no, he wasn't. Well, yeah, he might be, because Fuaga is my 10th player on this board. They might get him at 20.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he really is the top 10th player on their board, not DJ's board for the whole league.
Well, or, you know, for example, when Minkah Fitzpatrick came out, they had him as a top 5 player on their board.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know?
Which, it's not a lie.
Right.
It doesn't mean he's the 5th best player in the draft, consensus, but for their needs, what they want, if they were picking 5th and their top 4 guys were gone, they would have taken Minkah.
Right.
Yeah. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Right.
Often you don't get the opportunity. And when you're picking at like 20, you don't get there. Mm-hmm. I think they were 28 that year.
Right. But the nice thing, too, about like looking at this list, 20 is Nate Wiggins. They're going to do better than that.
Right.
If they happen to agree with my list, which they won't.
Because there'll probably be some of these guys that you have ranked behind, other teams may have ahead
and
of
the
them.
Other position, the edges
and
are going to go.
And some other positions are going
right,
to go.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you're probably going to end up with the 15th best player on your board when you're picking 20.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Right.
I mean, that's how it works. I mean, frankly, that's why the Patriots, they would have like 100 guys on their board for the whole draft.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get through the majority of the draft.
I think the Steelers do 100 to 150. Somewhere
yeah,
in that.
That's about what we did with the Browns, yeah. too. And we never picked anybody off the sideboard. You know,
right.
you start calling those guys as free agents, but there's some players that don't fit you, or there's medical rejects that, you know, there's not even going to be on the board.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for our number one. That was Matt's list of the 29 players he would take for the Steelers at 20.
Yeah. And I've been changing it every hour. Move one guy one spot, or maybe DeGene could go up one spot. You know what I mean?
That's the way that goes.
That's the way that goes. Right.
And it's working that way for teams now. They'll start.
That's when the fights happen.
That's when the fights happen.
This is the vertical or the horizontal board.
By the time the draft rolls around, there's nobody standing on the table and pounding the table or anything like that. This is already done.
They're fighting it right now.
Yeah.
This is where the battles are happening. Like, hey, we got DeGene as the top corner, and you're going to take the 6th best tackle over him? Yeah, sorry, D-Bet in the back, coach. You're out of luck. We
yeah,
are.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, right. Or, okay, you got a good point. Let's fight it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Like I said, that's going to do it for hour number one. We'll be back with hour number two of the drive right after this.